Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mad, because obviously, like, I got bare Arsenal fans that follow the platform on Twitter, and like they're like, "You're next up." That's the common feedback that I get. "You're next up. This Keon Edwards, trust me, is a joke." Do you see that on Twitter? Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. Before I shout out Dej, I can't lie, I'm pumped up for this one, not only because we have a fantastic young talent, but I'm just excited about the future of this platform, bro.
No, I agree with you, bro. Like, a lot of good things coming ahead, a lot of good plans, but yeah, we just have to keep working hard and putting our head down, so looking forward to the future.
No, definitely. As we said on the last episode, obviously, we're trying to build a community, so we want to get feedback from you guys and let us know how we can improve the podcast. Let us know what you want to see, because we want to build a community. So leave a comment and we take all feedback, we read all of it, and we'll try to reply to as many as possible. Dej, is there anything you want to add?
No, I agree with you. Obviously, as we said, we want to increase engagement. So let us know what you think, what we can improve. And obviously, we'll listen. Like, we're open to taking feedback from our supporters and stuff. So, yeah.
No, definitely. Before we introduce our guests, I just want to quickly plug our socials. Follow our Twitter at @podcast_TBG. Our Instagram at @pod_TBG. Our TikTok, that's getting millions of views now. At @TBGpod. And subscribe to the YouTube channel and like this video, because it helps the algorithm and it helps us get bigger and better guests onto the platform. So I'm delighted to announce and introduce Maggie Keon Edwards onto the platform.
Welcome, bro. What are you saying, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
We're all good, man. And love for the care package. I think it's better to do it at the beginning. You know, yeah, Keon's dropped us a...
You usually show this stuff. So.
You know, Keon's kindly given us his shirt that he's worn the Papa John's Trophy competition. So what we're going to do, the best comment will be winning this shirt. So we've got hold of it. So we're going to be reading and looking. So the best one, best comment will actually win this shirt. So that's our promise to you guys.
Oh, definitely. So yeah, let's talk about the herring now. We're obviously at the end of last season and pre-season is fast arriving. So what have you been up to, my bro?
I've just been chilling, you know, just been on holiday with my friends. And yeah, that's it really.
Okay, so what, did you get up to anything exciting?
We went Ayanapa.
Yeah.
But it was a blast. It was a good time away with the lads. Obviously, yeah. All of us are footballers, so we just used that time to just wind down and take our head away from football.
Because during the season, there's a lot of pressure on performance and stuff like that. So like, how important is that sort of bonding time where you're not really talking about football? It's more just the lad stuff, because again, you're still young, you're a teenager. Yeah. When you're in that football bubble, it's like pressure. So how good was that?
Nah, it was very good, because sometimes when you try and focus too much on football, sometimes it don't go the way you want it to.
Yeah.
So I feel like with the younger generation coming up now, I would say that try to enjoy life as much as you can, as well as working hard when it's time to go.
Definitely. Like, I speak to like bare players and obviously people surrounding the game. And in regards to like when you're with your boys like in football, do you like actually chat about football? Because when I speak to bare man, they're like, listen, when I'm with my boys, it's just different stuff. We don't talk about football.
No, we talk about a mixture of stuff. Sometimes football, sometimes just normal life stuff, like what just happens on our day-to-day lives. And yeah, that's it really.
Cool. Yeah, let's go back to the beginning, because as we said, you're still a young player, obviously from North London. So how did you get into football?
I was about 4 years old and I was in the park with my brother and we were just having a kick about and some guy was just watching, but I was too young to notice what he was trying to do. And my brother like said that, like, you're right. He's like, yeah, like, obviously I'm a scout for TFA, whatever, whatever. So I've gone down there and then it's just all gone so right from
for
there.
For context, like, what's TFA? People that probably don't
know. It's my Sunday league team.
Okay.
Total Football Academy. Yeah, there's a few ballers there as well that's made it out from there.
Okay, so which players like made it out of there?
Like Makai, Elijah, Haroon. Who else is there? There's a few others.
Okay. Yeah,
there's a few others.
So who's the best baller back then? Was it you? I know your man them are watching this, so be careful what you say.
They'll probably check you in the comments, right?
You're going to get me in trouble.
You were the best, didn't it? Secretly.
Like we all had different qualities, innit?
But you were banging the goals.
But I was the goal scorer, innit?
Yeah. No, so like, in terms of like, being at TFA, so when were the moments where like clubs started showing interest in you and started saying, you know what, this boy is a baller, we need to like take him on to the next level?
I'll be honest, I was there for so many years. I think like when we started playing tournaments and that, like, as we got a bit older, like six, seven, that's when I started getting noticed by like Arsenal and Chelsea, clubs like that.
Okay, so 6, 7, you're doing your thing in Sunday League. Obviously, you said you're banging in the goals, ripping it up. So when do you join Arsenal and why do you pick Arsenal over Chelsea, or is that not the case?
This is a story that I like to tell people as well.
Okay.
So I was about 6, 7 and I'm at both, because obviously you don't have to sign until you're 9, innit?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going in between. But then the only difference that there was that just the travelling distance, I think. And obviously we just chose Arsenal. It was right around the corner. We just thought, why not?
So in terms of like, did you actually go to Chelsea, or like they approached you and you said, you know what, the distance is a bit techie, so let me just go to...
They approached my parents, and yeah, it was just, we had to make a decision by the time I got to 9, and we just chose Arsenal.
So what, you were training with both?
Yeah, both.
Okay,
yeah.
So how did you find it in terms of, I don't know, quality, facilities, teammates, if you were to like compare the two?
Back then, Chelsea's facilities.
Yeah, it was cold, yeah.
And yeah, that was, I'd say that was the only difference then.
Okay, so in terms of like that support system, because obviously like we're of the generation before you, and it's like we've got African parents, and it's like one of those ones is that when you're young, it's listen, school, books, Sundays, church, you're not missing no class for any sort of training. Yeah. You get what I mean? So who was doing all that legwork in regards to taking you to Chelsea, taking you to Arsenal? Was it your brother? Was it your parents? Who was supporting you, bro?
It was my parents, you know.
Serious.
Like, my mum used to have to sneak out of work just to get me to Chelsea.
I rate that, you know.
Sometimes my dad would take me. They just take turns.
Okay.
So in terms of like growing up, obviously you've got a well-known family in North and stuff like that. So how important was that? Because I think families are so important and it's underrated in football. I know some people talk about it, but it's very important for families to keep you on that straight and narrow. So like, obviously on the ends, there's all extracurricular activities that people can get involved in. But how good were your family in like shielding you away from that?
I'll be real, my dad, for instance, he's always taught me that right from wrong. He's always showed me what pathway I need to stay on, because the other path's not very good. and obviously other family members as well. So I just had to knuckle down and just keep in a straight path.
So obviously, as Dad said, you've got like a well-known and connected family in North London. So in regards to like growing up, like 10, 11, obviously you signed for Arsenal at what age?
Nine.
So like, do you feel like I need to make it? When do you feel like I need to make it?
I'll be honest, I don't put that much pressure on myself. Mm. Obviously, I know that's my dream. I want to be a footballer, but I know it's going to come. Like, I believe in myself. My family believe in me. So like, I just know, and I believe in God. So it will follow through.
And so how important is religion to you? Because obviously you've just mentioned God. So that's a...
Nah, it's very important. That people might not know this. Even my friends might not know this, but before every game, before I go to bed, I make sure I pray, because I'm fortunate for the situation I'm in right now. So I just got to give him thanks all the time.
So in terms of like your friendship group from the local area and stuff, like, so how is your relationship with that? Or is your like circle just like mainly footballers and stuff?
My circle's mainly like footballers, but like I got a few friends outside of football, but my circle's very tight.
And we got one here today as well.
So how is it? Because like, I remember obviously I had boys that have made it as footballers, and when they're in the ends, they're like, listen, you're snaking us. Oh, bro, you don't want to hang out. Like, what's going on, bro? You're too big time for us. So how do you manage that sort of dynamic? Or has it never been like that for you?
It's never been like that. But I think that's because I've got good people around me, and I surround myself with the right people. Mm. Like, there's never like anyone telling me, oh, why are you going training? Come chill with us. Like, it's never been that. Everyone knows what I've wanted from young, and they've just stuck by me.
So like, even like the pressures of being young, obviously you are Arsenal and you are dominant. How is it growing up in this time in terms of like social media, everything so like hyper connected? You got TikTok, Someone has a bad game, you get DM'd on Instagram and you're not good enough, you're rubbish. Yeah. So how do you kind of like shield yourself away from that?
I'll be honest, if I have a bad game, I'm not really on the internet.
Yeah.
It's straight to bed.
Yeah.
If I have a good game, then I'm on every app.
Yeah. Okay, we're checking that. You're typing in there.
So obviously, talk to us about going through the ranks at Arsenal. So let's go back to you being 12, 13. What's happening at Arsenal?
12, 13. I think I got my... 12, 13. That's when like day release and that started. You know, day release leave school.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that started now. And obviously leaving school, halfway through the day, looking at your friends, you just feel like the man.
What are your friends saying?
Screwing.
What, were you missing the subjects that you didn't like and stuff? Yeah.
Just missing history. Oh my God.
Geography. You want that nonsense?
I was loving it.
So how was that experience though? Like, take us through a day at day release.
So I'd leave at about lunchtime at school, which is at 12:31. Then I'd go to Arsenal for about 1:45, get in, we'd eat lunch, and then we would like do prep, and then we'd train, have analysis, gym, eat, and then home. Jeez, that was literally our day, but yeah, good.
So even in terms of like the academy setup, how did you sort of progress up the ranks? Did they give you like a contract every 2 years, every year? So how do you know you're making it through to the next level?
I think 12 is when when I was under 12s, I think my contract, I just had got 2 years. So I think that went on to 14s, and then 14s went on to 16s. But 16 is where like you get told if you're getting a scholar or not.
Yeah.
So that was like a big thing. And obviously I was just delighted to get my scholar back then.
So what, were you like one of the nailed on guys that, you know what, he's going to get his scholar? Obviously you were performing and stuff, or was there any sort of situations where like, ooh, this year's a bit techie, like I didn't really perform, I could get released, or were you sort of always excelling at your age group?
I'll be honest, when I was under 15s, I was going through a lot of like growth spurts and that like, growth pain in my knees, my Achilles and my severs. So like, I wasn't really moving how I would want to move, and like, you could see it within my performances. That was probably my, I'd say, worst footballing Yeah. Under 15s, but then under 16s, I came back and
done a mad thing.
Dominated.
I just done a mad thing.
So, like, how did you deal with that kind of adversity at 15? Because, again, as I always say, people like to sort of preach the high life of footballers, enjoyment, money, and stuff like that. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of sacrifice, there's a lot of self doubt, there's a lot of pain. So, like, during that period, like, how did you cope with it?
I think I just used family as a stepping stone. Like, they helped me when it was rough. Like, if I needed anything, like, I'd just talk to my dad or my mum. And obviously, I had older cousins that also played football. And I'd chat to them.
Okay, what? They played at a professional level? Yeah. Okay, which players were they?
Rolando Aarons, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. He was at Newcastle. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that was it, really.
Just for some context, like, who was in your age group, like, going through the ranks at Arsenal? What other players that are probably, you know, well known now or whatever that were in your age group at the time?
We had a couple ballers.
Okay. Like
Malcolm Abir.
Yeah, big him up. Yeah, player.
Brooke Norton Cuffey.
Oh, yeah. He's been on here.
Big him up.
Murray Hutchinson.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie Patino.
Okay. Yeah. Jeez, that's a ballers. Yeah,
same on Lewis as well. Oh, big him up. Okay. Big baller.
Yeah, yeah. Oof, that's
a big stacked alumni. Yeah, that's quality right there.
Yeah.
So you get to 17-18, 2022, I believe, you signed your first pro contract.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you?
It meant the world to me, and I can't lie.
Serious?
Because obviously, as a kid growing up, knowing this is what you wanted to be from so young, to having been told by Arsenal Football Club that they want to offer you a professional contract, it was outrageous. That I didn't know what to say at the time, but I was just thankful and just praised the Lord every time for this opportunity.
So talk us through the day. Like, how was it announced? Were you called into an office by the first team manager? Was it Per Mertesacker? How did it go?
It was Per Mertesacker, you know. Emailed. Obviously, I had a conversation over the phone, and then, yeah, weeks later, well, it took a bit of time to sort out my deal, but we got there in the end. And yeah, we came in, my agents, my mum, my immediate family was there. And yeah, we just got to the signing.
Do you mind giving us any sort of like insight into that conversation with Pierre? Like, what happened?
Just sat down, we had a plan. And yeah, that was about it. About what's going to happen with me over the years. And yeah, we just took it from there.
Okay, so is it more like, okay, we're signing you, this is your sort of map for the future, like, we need to maybe train with the first team, or you might have to go on a few loans.
Yeah.
But like, listen, we trust you, we think you're the future, we think you can sort of make it at Arsenal or make it as a pro.
Yeah, it was exactly that, exactly what you just said.
So obviously you signed that first contract. What did you say to your family? What was the conversation when you got home? How were your parents?
Nah, my parents were delighted. Yeah, they were. Especially my mum. Like,
yeah.
She's probably my biggest supporter.
That's sick.
Yeah. Knowing my dad, he was just there. Like, he was happy, but
he didn't show, he just chilled.
Hard work's just starting now, kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. So, do you do anything to celebrate?
I think my mum put on a surprise for me.
Oh,
all my family and friends.
Is it? Oh, that's dope.
Was it like a big Arsenal cake or something? Or?
I can't remember what cake it was.
I knew there was cake though.
Must have ate it all.
Yeah, so like, as Dot said, when you sign that pro, hard work starts now. A lot of people think, you know what, you sign your pro, you've made it, but that's the beginning of the hard work, because now you're a professional and the competition is rife. Especially at a club like Arsenal, where it's stacked with talent in those forward positions. Yeah. You know, Saka's obviously doing his thing. Eddie's come from the academy, and there's a few others that are doing their thing. So, what was your mindset after you signed that professional deal?
My mindset was just to keep working hard. Obviously, I've been given this opportunity for a reason. I know I have talent, but talent's not going to bring you to the top of your game.
Mm.
You've got to have a bit of everything to maximise your game.
So, let's say for people that haven't watched you play, what's a player profile? Like, how would you say you play? What positions do you play? What's your strengths?
I'm a striker, but I can play in a two, but I sometimes like to be the one that's just behind the striker.
Just getting those.
I'm very good. I can play. I can play football. So yeah, that's why I can play left wing as well.
So, and it's important to be versatile nowadays because managers change the systems 4-3-3. No, one number nine, two wingers, two in. So it's,
So do you watch anyone like maybe at Arsenal or even in the game like, where you model and you'll be like, I like the look of this player. Let me take a few things. Is that something you do?
I'll be real. Gabby Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
His hold up play is a joke.
Serious.
You should see him in training, man.
What, just bullying, man?
Just elegant. Just the way he moves.
Yeah.
His movement is always too sharp. So I try and take that out of his game and put it into mine.
No, because you hear a lot about like the leadership that he's added in the camp. Him, Zinchenko. How's he been with the young players, Gabby Jesus?
Nah, he's very good, you know. To be fair, at first I thought maybe he might try and be a bit BT. But to be fair, when I first travelled with the first team, like, put his arm around me, like he asked who I am, basically.
Is it?
Like he tried to get to know me. Like some players would know me, like just like who's this guy? Like try and walk past him, but he actually gave me time of day.
So how is that like sort of training with these sort of professional footballers? Gabby Jesus, Granit Xhaka, looks like he's potentially leaving. Thomas Partey.
Nah, it's mad training with them. Like. You just gotta make sure that like, you're always on it.
Yeah.
Because even though you're young and. But they'll get onto you if they need to. So you got to make sure everything is sharp.
So when was that sort of welcome to the first team moment? Like whether it was a tackle or whether you scored and everyone's like jumping around you. Like when was that moment?
I'll be honest, it was one time I was holding up the ball and Gabriel just went straight through. I said, yeah, welcome to first
team.
That's when I knew I was here.
Yeah. So how do you hang like physically, because you're quite a big lad. So how do you hang? Do you feel that physical difference between under 21s and first team, or can you hold your own kind of thing?
Nah, it's a big difference. Like you have to be a lot smarter when you're with the first team, because obviously I'm physical, but first team environment, there's players that are also as physical, if not more physical than me. So I have to adapt my game. Sometimes I might have to drop into spaces, drag defenders out or run in behind. And yeah.
Nah, bro, I hear you. Like, it's mad because, like, sometimes, like, you speak to players and they're like, listen, it could be a bit daunting going into the first team because you don't really see people of a similar age or you don't really see Mandem. But obviously with Arsenal, you're fortunate enough to have people like yourself. For example, Bukayo Saka. You know, Eddie Nketiah, Emil Smith Rowe, they've all come from the academy and they've done their thing and they're now dominating the first team. So when you see a man like that, does that give you confidence that, listen, I belong here?
Nah, it gives me drive. When I see that, it gives me drive because obviously I believe in myself a lot and I just hopefully one day I can train them.
So who out of that sort of Haaland alumni do you like speak to and they maybe give you advice, or is there that sort of relationship?
Obviously, I've spoken to Eddie a few times. Obviously, I've trained with him. We've done that finishing that after a session at Arsenal. That me and him go with the keepers and just try and see what he does that's different in my game. And
I think he's one of probably Arsenal's best finisher.
He's quality finisher still.
So what sort of things have you learned from him in terms of techniques in finishing?
Like the way he strikes the ball. See me, I like to use my instep a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But him, like, he can do like both of both feet as well. So like I've been trying to replicate that.
Talk to us about the season that's just finished. How would you sum it up? Your personal performance?
A bit of a roller coaster, you know.
Serious?
Yeah, because obviously started off the season well. Then I got hamstring injury, which set me back a bit, but it weren't major. Came back, was doing all right, getting back my fitness and that. Then I played Stoke, and I think it was in the second half. I must have received the ball, and then the defender's just like going straight through me. But like my ankle's got stuck in the ground, and it's twisted one way, and my knee's like gone that way. And yeah, I literally broke my ankle and tore like three ligaments.
So is that the one where you had surgery?
Yeah.
I think I messaged you, get well soon kind of thing. So I swear before that you was in the match day squad of the Europa League.
Yeah, I was, you know, I think I got called up. I can't remember what game.
Was it Bodo or something?
Bodo, yeah, that team and PSV at home. So I was involved in that,
Yeah, so how was that? That's not a little thing, you know. That's it. You're saying that calmly, bro. Like, how was that experience? Like, did Mikel call you and say, listen, you're going to be in the squad. We want you to... How was that, that call up?
Nah, it was my 21s manager. I think he just, before training, he told me, yeah, you're with the first team and obviously just be prepared to travel. And I was like, right, is it? And I was just happy to be over there and happy for the manager to put his trust in to be over there with them.
So in terms of that relationship with Mikel Arteta, obviously last season Arsenal finished second. He's had a lot of plaudits about his work with the team and young players. So have you had any sort of like one-to-one conversation with him?
Not deep one-to-one conversations, but like on the field, like if I've done something right or wrong, he'll let me know.
So yeah, obviously just to dig a little deeper into the Europa League experience. So like, how is it traveling with the first team squad? Who are you befriending? Are you like first day of school? Like, how is it, bro? Honestly.
Nah, it's sick. It's like, I have friends on like friends from school who support Arsenal.
I'm
on the bus with these players that they talk about. So it's just a bit mad.
So what was the conversation with your schoolmate? What were they messaging you? Like, oh, we can see you on TV, or we can see you. What was the sort of...
Some were saying they could see me on TV. Some were asking how are the players, like, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch. And yeah, just stuff like, questions like that.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the Arsenal first team, when you're training with the players, who would you say is like, I don't know, the best trainer?
I'd say... Gabby Jesus.
Okay, so what is it about him? The intensity, the mindset, like, and
the way he does things like he's playing a game. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell he's in training.
Yeah,
like, everything's just like sharp. He does everything to the best of his ability. Yeah. So, and to be fair, Martinelli as well.
Okay, he's intense. He's quick.
He's a joke.
So who's the most like vocal on the training pitch? They're always giving information. They're shouting instructions.
Granit Xhaka. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably he's a leader still.
Yeah.
Sometimes he don't even have to talk, it's just his aura.
Okay.
Yeah, he's that sort of person.
Yeah. So obviously you touched on the injury, horrific injury. How long did it set you back for? How long was you injured for?
I think I was out for about 18 months. So that's about four and a half months.
18 weeks.
Okay.
What you
saying?
I was like
18
months.
Like,
I was doing that.
18 weeks.
So, bro, what was going through your head, man? Like,
I was devastated because I had such a good start to that season, and then to being told you've broken your ankle and torn three ligaments is something you don't want to hear, innit? And yeah. I just used that time as just being my family and just taking my head away from football. But I won't lie, it was affecting me. I'm not going to lie. Because obviously I want to be on the pitch. I'm seeing my boys playing football and I'm just at home sitting there.
So I just wanted to say that, how difficult was it? Because obviously it affects you, but we don't know the extent in terms of what's going through your head, bro? Because it must be tough.
To be fair, before my operation, I was all right. Like, mentally, I was all right. I was just going about my day. But after the operation, when the pain started hitting me, that's when I felt it. Like, the mental thoughts. Like, I was sitting on my stairs at like 4 a.m. holding my leg up because I'm in so much pain, trying to take tablets. Nothing's helping. Going in the bath at 5 a.m. The only thing that actually helped me was the World Cup.
Okay.
If there was no World Cup, I don't know what I would have done.
So were you living with like family and stuff? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Oh, thank God you made a full recovery. So how was that process when you started to like feel better?
When I was back on my feet walking again, I felt like a new man.
So was there a point where you were like bedbound, so you couldn't even really walk?
I was bedbound for at least 2 weeks. I couldn't do nothing. Just there, I had like a cushion on my bed, and like I had to have my foot elevated.
Wow.
And yeah, I couldn't do
this. This is what I'm saying. This is what people don't see with the football life as well, because as much as there's the ups, there's also the downs, and especially to have it so young as well, it must be, yeah.
It's crazy. And also, like, when I'm having to bath, I have to put like a plastic bag. Yeah. They gave me like a plastic bag to put over my leg, so obviously I don't get infected or anything like that. It was just crazy.
So during these periods, are you having like contact with the club? Like, I don't know, maybe Per or your coach, like they're checking in on you saying, oh, what, Kay, you okay? Like, how are you doing? How are you progressing?
Yeah, both coaches messaged me. And obviously Per, yeah, he made sure I was all right. Like, he was one of the first to check in.
Okay, so did he come to visit your house or
like? Nah, he just popped a message straight. Like,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Basically, as soon as after my operation, popped a message checking how I was. Yeah.
So in terms of now, have you made like a full recovery? And
yeah, I'm recovered now. Yeah.
Okay, I know towards the end of the season you played some under 21 games and stuff like. So how do you feel in terms of your physical fitness from, I don't know, let's say when you're called up to the Europa League squad till now?
When I got called up, I felt probably at the best of my game.
Yeah,
I felt sharp, fit, confident. Obviously now I'm going back in, obviously I've been training, I feel sharp and fit and ready to go again.
Oh, that's good to hear. And in terms of, obviously pre-season's coming soon, have you already thought of like your aims and objectives for next season?
To be fair, I have, but not all of them. I'm still sitting down writing on my notes what I want to achieve this year.
So where do you feel in terms of your development now? Do you still think you should be within that development system where you're playing under 21s? Or like Brooke, when he came onto the pod, he was adamant that this season I need to be playing first team football. Do you think maybe a loan could be good for you? Or
yeah, I think that's definitely definitely in my plan to go on loan, because obviously I'm 20 in September. So I want to like start seeing men's football.
So you're open to like going and testing yourself, and because a lot of young players talk about maybe the, you know, going and living by yourself. It teaches them life skills that maybe if you're sat at home comforts, you don't get to have in terms of cooking for yourself and being by yourself and stuff like that. Yeah. You think you're ready for that?
Yeah, I can cook, man.
what's your go-to?
Took it out of my Go on.
I could do a chicken and rice, bolognese.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The basics.
Yeah, where did you learn? Who taught you? I know it's your missus.
Nah, my mum.
Your mum, calm.
So, when, again, as fans, we watch Arsenal and we're looking at the news and thinking, geez, 100 M's, Declan Rice, 40 mil, Lavia, you know, Timber, 40 mil. As a young
65,
yeah, that's the one that escaped my mind. Thanks, though. So, as a young player, you're thinking, geez, like my team's doing their thing, they're signing, let's go for the Prem. Or as a young player, you're thinking, where does this leave me? It might take longer for me to get my opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, it's never going to be easy to get into Arsenal's first team. It's a very big club and a club with very good talents. So it's never going to be straightforward. Mm. But I think sometimes you might have to take the longer route to get to where you need to get to. It's like a lot of people think, oh, no, I need to be in the first team now. But that's just not how life works.
100%.
Sometimes you have to deroute to get back on route.
100.
Well, that, well said. Well said, bro. And in terms of talks about going on loan, has talks begun between the club and your agent, anything like that?
Not as far as I'm aware, but hopefully that.
Is that something you would like initiate, like tell one of your agents, like, listen, obviously I want to maybe like broaden my horizons and I want to play first team football.
That's definitely something I'll speak to him about. But also, like, maybe I might need to get a few more minutes before I go out. But we'll see what can happen.
No, definitely. And you've got a great support team and I know they'll make the right choice. In regards to potentially going out on loan, do you look at following Balogun and think?
No, you said it with the Nigerian tongue.
I had to. Do you look at him and think that that's the model? Because when I watch him play, I think, poof, this is going to be a world-class striker. He's going to the top. Whether it's going to be at Arsenal, I don't know. But do you look at him and think, yeah, this is mad talent?
Yeah, nah, he's a serious player. Mm. I'd say he's one of the, from what I've seen, one of the best to come out.
Of Arsenal?
From my, like, serious. Sort of generation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'd say he's one of the best to come out.
So what is it about him, like? Is it the hunger?
I think, I don't know, it's the way he plays, like, he just plays, like, so freely, but, like, it's raw but elegant at the same time. Like, he just loves, he just bangs goals for fun. That's what strikers love to do, and it's just good to see him just doing it.
So what do you think has made him sort of stand out this season?
I'd say stepping out of his comfort zone and showing the world what he's capable of.
So in terms of like a loan move, obviously probably a club in England might be the next route, but would you be open to like going abroad and going to a different country?
Yeah, well, if it suits me, if everything's right within the club, then yeah, I wouldn't mind.
It's mad because obviously like I've got bare Arsenal fans that follow the platform on Twitter, and like they're like, you're next up. That's the common feedback that I get. You're next up. This Keon Edwards, trust me, is a joke. Do you see that on Twitter?
Not really, but sometimes my mum will show. But I'm the type of person that I don't really listen to all of that. I just knuckle down and go along with my day and just try and be the best version of myself.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a bit about last season, Arsenal, like the vibe within the club. Obviously, you were going for a title until like the last three or four games. Then obviously, like we know what happened with Manchester City. How was the vibe around the camp?
What, towards the end?
Yeah, towards the end. Were you in the club or was this?
Yeah. Like, obviously, everyone, there's the natural reaction to knowing you're not winning the league. You're going to be a bit down. But one thing I'll say is like all the players, they still made sure like they're on it. The staff remained the same, didn't change anything. Like you can see there's a clear like identity in the club. And regardless of win, draw, lose, like, it stays the same.
And as a young player, like obviously you've been there for a long stretch of time. There was that period where like the fans weren't on side, they were sort of calling for Emre out, Wenger out and stuff.
Arteta out at one point.
Yeah, Arteta out at one point. So, like, how have you found sort of, like, the club mixing with the fans again? Because from the outside looking in, this is, like, the most united I've seen Arsenal in a lot of years.
I think it's very good because, like, I think it not just helps the players, it helps staff as well. Because when, like, everyone's together, it makes everyone's jobs easier. Mm-hmm. Like, if you got fans booing, saying this, chants, all of that, like, it's just not going to help.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of like, this is my last one on Arsenal. If you had to send a message to the Arsenal fans, a lot of well wishes when you got injured, you know, that hard road to recovery, grinding every day to get back fit and them man supporting you, probably sending you well wishes all the time. So if you had to like just give a message to them, what would you say?
I'd just say thanks for that, all the good supportive messages because it meant a lot to me because I was down. That like, I'm a human being. That like, some people look at me as a footballer, but I'm also a human. That like, I feel pain and things like that. But yeah, it was just good to have to know there was a lot of support around me. And yeah, I just want to thank everyone that wished me well in my recovery.
So in terms of football, like, are you like a student of a game? Like every game that's on TV, you're watching, you're tuning in and watching. Or how's your relationship with football? Do you switch off or?
Nah, I love football. I think it's from my dad though, because my dad will watch every game, whether it's Prem, Champ, League One, like, he's on it. But me, like, I watch it a lot, but there's times where I won't watch it. But I'm like big games, I'm there. I'm there regardless.
So what's your thoughts on football? Like we see obviously like Mbappe's, the Haalands, like even like the Salahs in the Prem, Bernardo Silva's, like, which players do you look at and think, this guy, he's operating at a different level? Even Saka, Arsenal, to be fair.
To be fair, Haaland. He's a robot.
He's
on another planet still. Yeah.
Okay, do you think he's the best player in the Premier League?
Not player. Oh. Best goal scorer.
So he's the best player?
Best player in the Prem. Kevin De Bruyne. Yeah, 100%. Okay.
What do you think makes him like such a top player then?
I don't know. I think it's the way he plays the game and the way he reads the game. And that he's just so effective. Like, even if he don't score, like, he just does. Within a game, he's doing something that just leads into something. Whether that's a chance, a goal, assist. Like, he's always involved in something.
So, like, if people are watching in, like, what's one thing that people probably don't know about you?
That and anything.
Yeah, like just anything in life or...
This is a hard one.
All right, then we'll come back to it, man. We'll come back to it.
This is what Dej does, you guys. Dej, any more on football side?
No.
So we're going to move into life outside of football. Don't worry, we're coming back to that question. You know? Don't worry. What do you like getting up to in your downtime?
And it's just chilling at home or just seeing my boys, because obviously we all play football. Obviously when we link up, we just have a laugh and a joke and just chill out at any of our houses and just chill, literally.
So what do you get up to? Are you gaming? Is it streaming? Or?
Yeah, sometimes we play a bit of FIFA or Call of Duty. Yeah.
So who's your team on FIFA?
My team?
You got to say Arsenal.
I use Real Madrid.
Okay, that Benzema and Vinny link up, undefeated.
You don't want to play me when I'm Real Madrid, I'm telling you.
Are you sure you're not one of those talkers that say they're good and then when you play them, you're like,
I'm good, man. Yeah. At FIFA. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of like music, like what are you interested in?
I like Jamaican music and, be honest, American.
So which artist from America? I think I've got a guess in my head, but like which artist you messing with?
Who do you think?
Baby.
Yeah.
I knew it. Your generation. That's it. Yeah.
Everyone we've had on, Little Baby is the first name.
Yeah, no one's ready for him.
Yeah, he's top, to be honest. So in terms of, obviously I know it's still a bit early for this, like your international future, obviously you've got England, you've got Jamaica. Is there any sort of preference, like who you'd like to represent? Or is it still a bit too early for that?
It's a hard one as well, you know. Obviously yeah. I'd love to play for England, but I feel like if I went back home, I'd get a different type of love over there. Obviously I can make a name for myself and I want to be a king somewhere. So
it's interesting because someone you mentioned, Amari, like he nailed these colors to the masters. I'm repping Jamaica, where he's got the talent to represent England. So like we were speaking to a player, Isaiah Jones, he even said the same thing, that listen, like players need to start repping their country.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, because he wants to represent Guyana, which on the face of it, if you've got England, Jamaica, Guyana, probably football-wise, Guyana will probably be at the back of the queue. Yeah. But he's saying that, let's represent our own countries, man. Like, let's uplift kind of thing. What's your thoughts on that?
Nah, he's talking a lot of sense, to be fair.
Why do you think that's important?
It's important because like, you always need to remember like, your background and where your family's from. Like, I feel like a lot of players like do it for the money, innit? But like, I think sometimes you need to recognize your roots.
So has Amari been like texting you saying, bro, I'm waiting for you, I'm waiting for you.
He's been on me
for, is it? Been
on me for time.
Okay, yeah, serious.
I'm just trying to sort out my passport.
Nah,
Once that's done, I'm good to go.
Okay, so I've like the Jamaican Association or FA, whatever it's called, have they been in contact with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did they say? We're interested, we're looking at you. What?
I'll be honest, I didn't really get them. Like, went to my mum.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's just trying to sort it all out.
I know your mum's 30 and y'all did it.
She's got the freedom of Jamaica. Yeah,
that's it, that's it. So in terms of social media, what are your thoughts?
In what way?
Positive? Negative?
I think social media has got its pros and cons. That it's good, like, especially as a footballer, like, if you're doing well, like, you're going to love social media. If you're not doing so well, you're not going to want to be on it.
Mm.
Also, you got girls. Like, sometimes it can be a distraction.
Especially for you young guys, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, the women are maybe throwing themselves at you and stuff like that. So how do you even navigate that? Someone, you know, being a professional at a big club, like, how do you decipher, I don't know, the real from the fake? You get what I'm saying? Do you prefer to maybe meet people outside face-to-face or social media? Like, how is that?
I go off energy, so face-to-face.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's actually mad because we had, I'm not sure if you know him, Andre Wisdom on the podcast. And he was like, that's kind of why he's not on social media. Mm. Distractions, girl. Do you get what I mean? So it's actually mad. So like, how do you decipher and determine what's real and what's fake? Because let's be honest, girls like clout. Let's be real. When you're a footballer of status, girls are interested. They're going to be like, yeah, okay, let's go wear this. So how do you like decipher and navigate like around that kind of stuff?
I'll be honest, I'm different from a lot of guys, and that's all I can say.
So you've got like a vetting process.
Like, a girl can message me and say, like, let's go here.
Yeah.
I'm not on it. I'm just...
You know what it is? It's just good to wrap your thing from early and then just go.
Sail off into the sunset, basically.
I'm just calm. I'm just calm.
Nah, I love that.
So in terms of, like, hopes for the future, like, this coming season... Obviously, I know we spoke about a potential loan. So, like, what are you doing now to make sure you're in, like, a fit sort of state when you go back to pre-season?
I've been doing some one-to-ones with my boy, Mac. Big up my boy, Mac.
Big up, Mac.
Big up.
And, obviously, Mark Finley as well. I don't know if you lot know him. Can't lie. The first session I went back.
Blowing.
Yeah. I started seeing stars. What a joke. And yeah, I've just been doing like gym work myself as well.
So do you have like a gym program of us, or you just like do your thing? Like,
nah, they give
uppers
us,
and lowers. Or?
Nah, they give us gym program, but I've been doing it for years, like my own thing, innit? So, but I try and like make it similar, but not exactly the same.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Nah, you've been brilliant, my bro. We're wishing you all the best in your journey. And we're going to be supporting my G.
Thank you.
So keep up the good work, stay focused, and you're going to have a bright future.
Yeah, this is just the start. And thank you for coming on. You've done fantastic. Again, we always say to young players, yeah, like, let's have a chat.
Yeah.
You know, use us as, you know, to build your profile, because obviously you're going to the top, and I think this helps. And as I said, you've conducted yourself properly like a true young professional. So like, thanks for coming on.
Definitely.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
No, we appreciate it. And it's commendable, because me at 19, I'll be buckling under this sort of environment. Yeah. You get what I mean? So no, I didn't dare to be trembling.
You're chill. Yeah. Like, you answer the questions well, you're professional. So like, we're just hoping you do the business on the pitch now, and we're wishing you like a great season.
Yeah, thank you, man.
We've got a closing tradition on this podcast where we asked the guest that we've had on to recommend potential guests in football to come onto this platform. So after experiencing the TBG treatment, who in football would you recommend as a good fit to come onto the Beautiful Game podcast?
You know who you are. Rolando, my cousin, and he has to come on there.
Cool. He's got a good story.
Definitely. I know he's been to like Italy,
Newcastle,
Scotland. So yeah, that would be a dope one.
Yeah, that would be a good one still.
And one more, if you had to recommend.
Who else would I recommend? Bradley. I don't know if you've had Bradley yet.
Bradley.
Abraham.
Nah,
cool. No, I appreciate that. And Dej, we need to go back to your question. What was it that?
Yeah, like what's something that no one knows about you? Like what's a hidden talent, so to speak?
I don't like dishing this one out, but I used to be able to sing. Obviously,
nah, bro, you're gonna have to drop the vocals. Nah. What are we talking, like R&B or what? Like,
anything.
Serious. Okay.
It's gone though. It's gone.
What the vocals? Yeah, what
voice is broke now?
It's gone before. Now.
What do you still try and do? A little here and there.
Only to the tings. Are you singing to the tings?
Voice note. Cool. We're gonna leave it there.
Yeah.
That's another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. As Dej said, we will be giving a lucky listener, subscriber.
And that's the proper Arsenal. Okay, like the fans love this away kit, innit? So I know there's going to be a lot of comments.
In my opinion, their best kit in years, even though I don't like Arsenal, but I know the players, so I always have to give them respect. We're going to leave it there. Best comment will win that Arsenal shirt. We'll send it to you next day delivery, so you'll get it ASAP. We're going to leave it there. Over and out. Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.